This hour of the Trevor Carey Show is powered by Energy Concepts.
In the fake impeachment, we had 196-0 Republican support, and we had 52.5 to 0.5 in the Senate. Who was the half? I can't imagine. I can't, but he was very good today. I have to tell you, he was good. Now I'm happy. Thank you, Mitt. Thank you. No, he was very good. Very positive statement.
This is the Trevor Carey Show. On Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Watch the abuse that she will take. Whoever, the decision's going to be announced on Saturday, 5 o'clock on Saturday, at the White House.
People aren't regulated.
And you see, we have tremendous Republican support. Two people, you know, always got to be two. Always got to be the two, those two. We have great support from the Republican Party, tremendous support. It's never been this unified before, ever, ever.
Ever. This is good, man. We got Republicans coming together. We got the Democratic Party fracturing, totally fracturing. This is a very good thing. I'm not saying that Ruth Bader Ginsburg dying was good. I'm saying that we got the opportunity to get the court more conservative, to stand up for those little babies that are over 50 million aborted since 1973. What do you think God's plans were for those people? He said he knew us. Before he formed us, knows how many hairs are on our head. Or for some of you who don't have hair on your head, knows how many is under your armpit. He sure does. And he has planned for those babies. What if they were going to cure cancer? What if they're going to cure AIDS? What if somebody, we aborted the baby that was going to come up with a vaccination for COVID-19? I am glad to see that the court has the potential to move in this direction. But they're fighting it tooth and nail. I mean, they will not stop. Chucky boy, Chuck Schumer from New York.
We Democrats are fighting as hard as we can to protect Americans. And we need Americans to
stop lying to the people.
Jesus saves! Jesus saves!
Stop lying to the people.
Jesus loves you guys!
Thank you. Democrats are fighting as hard as we can to protect Americans. But we need Americans to continue to fight with us.
Chuck Schumer, stop. Listen to him. Thank you very much.
They have the votes that this will happen, maybe even before the election, and that there's nothing that you can do to slow them down. Do you disagree with that? Do you believe that you have tactical options to slow them down?
Yes. We have tactical options to slow them down. We will use every tool in the toolkit. Now, admittedly, McConnell has changed the rules, so we have fewer tools and they're less sharp. But every tool we have, we will use. Today, we delayed committees going into effect. We had the right to do that, and we did it. Tonight, we're on the floor, taking up all the time on the floor to talk about how bad this potential nominee. And there will be many other things that we can use. You'll see them in the days ahead. But our number one goal, as we to slow it down, is to give us more time to convince the American people. And I don't believe it's a fait accompli. You have a whole bunch of Republican senators who have not taken a position. When you find the nominee, you never know what's going to be in their background, that you might find something that wins people over, even who were the other way. You know, a great metaphor for this, Rachel, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Against the longest of odds, she never gave up and she kept fighting.
Oh, the Democrats play dirty. They don't even try and be nice guys. And you know what? Until Donald J. Trump came down the golden escalator, Democrats have been winning. Most Republicans are like the dog that just lays down, right? Submits to the wild pack. And what happens to those dogs that lie down? They get eaten up. President Trump showed that it's possible to fight back and to actually win. The left has been at this for 60, 70, 80 years, seriously, trying to change the course of this country. Remember during Obama when he first took over? I'm going to fundamentally change the country, right? Fundamentally going to change our nation. And you know what they're doing right now? Their goal is to use violence to crush us. The conservative side, they are crushing. And they're psychopaths. You know why I'm calling them psychopaths? Because they don't have a conscience. They don't. When you go out and commit violent acts like that, you don't have a conscience. You have no remorse. You have no empathy for people or the business leaders. That makes you a psychopath. And that's what we've seen. And we're seeing more psychos probably. Now, you can peacefully protest. You can be upset. No murder charges in Breonna Taylor case. And you can peacefully protest. But watch tonight. Watch in Louisville what will happen. This Florida sheriff right here explains the peaceful protest, and he showed two pictures. This is a peaceful protest. This is not. We need more sheriffs like this around America. I'm glad we got a good one right here in our county.
This is a peaceful protest. This is a riot. We can tell the difference. The governor can tell the difference. Our law enforcement officers can tell the difference. In the event you didn't get that, let me show you something. This is a peaceful protest. This is looting. If you loot, the next thing you can try to steal is something off of your food tray at the county jail, because you're going to jail. That's a guarantee. And we're going to enjoy taking you down there. Some people are slow learners. This is peaceful protest. This is violence. It's not acceptable.
It's part of their campaign, the Democrats, because they're playing dirty. The violence is part of their campaign that we've seen right here. And the campaign, if we didn't already have enough drama already mixed in, we got now on top of that the death of Justice Ginsburg, as you've seen. And they've gone into crisis mode. Well, I said they went into crisis. Had they ever left crisis mode since President Trump became the president of the United States? They're out there having fainting spells over what the Republicans might do with this open seat on the court. And do you think if there was a Democrat president and a Democrat Senate and a position on the Supreme Court opened up, do you think they would hesitate for 1 minute to fill the spot? Come on. Absolutely not. You know, and I'm just curious, what's the end game here? Does it ever end? What is the end game? Because if they lose an election, they're going to say it was because of fraud by the Republicans, right? I guess they can't believe that there are enough people that would vote for somebody like Donald Trump. I mean, you know, Hillary was such an incredible candidate, wasn't she? How could she have lost? Russia, Russia, Russia. They never accepted the results of the last election. Not good. Have we remember the DNC, Hillary campaign, paid for the Steele dossier? All of that. And in a recent interview, Hillary said the Russians interfered in the last election and they're still interfering with this one. And she actually said it with a straight face. Actually said that. And you know that the threats of the violence, like in Louisville tonight, with the Democrat-run cities, it's not going to stop until either President Trump finishes his eighth year or is voted out of office. And I don't know on the Democratic ticket, not sure what genius came up with the idea that if you threaten Americans with violence, they just don't surrender, that's a good idea, right? Absolutely not. They're tuning out and turning off people around this country. And I don't know how long they think they can completely blame President Trump for the COVID deaths, the loss of jobs, the violence in the streets. They're doing all this and then trying to turn it around. And I know there are a lot of low information voters out there. But this election has a lot more people paying attention to what's going on anytime that I can remember. And the potential for voter fraud in this cycle is horrible. And what the Democrats have done to exploit this pandemic that's been going on with the mail-in ballots and the courts keep ruling and moving the goalpost. Update here in Wisconsin, U.S. District Judge extended the deadline for counting absentee ballots all the way to November 9th. The order, also permits poll workers to serve at any county, regardless of where they live. Next door in Michigan, judge overruled the state law requiring receipt of absentee ballots by 8 p.m. on election day, extending that deadline for 14 days. They got to be postmarked by November 2nd. So like Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, election results, if it's a tight contest, could be delayed. As we've seen, Michigan voters can request an absentee ballot up until October 30th. And in Minnesota, every registered voter in the state has received a vote from home application. They say, keep Minnesota number one in voter participation and help slow the spread of COVID-19. Near the bottom of the letter, it does say there are alternative open polling places, as we've seen. They're trying to change the rules, man. And the reason they're trying to change the rules, well, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio said why they're trying to change the rules, because simply they're just not winning elections.
You know, just a few minutes ago, we introduced a resolution in the filed a resolution in the House. Every single Republican was on the House Judiciary Committee was on the resolution condemning the Democrats' plan to pack the court. So the Democrats can't win elections. The Republicans control the Senate. We control the White House. The president's following the law, submitting a nominee to the Senate. The Senate's going to move forward with that nomination, just like the Constitution says. So the Democrat says, if you do that and we win back power, we're going to change the rules. We're going to add six new people to the court. The court has been at nine for 151 years. So this is ridiculous. I think the American people understand that. So we got a resolution that we filed, as I said, just a few minutes ago.
Good, good. Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida is asking for prosecutors to probe the Bloomberg vote buying. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about that. I told you yesterday about that. They're going down to Florida, right? And they're finding felons. Florida now said, okay, felons can vote, but you have to pay off all your fines that you have out there. Well, Bloomberg stepped in and given a whole lot of money to that. And it could be, I think, illegal, right, to buy somebody's vote. I think in radio we call that payola. We'll talk about it next. And Liz Peek, FoxNews.com contributor on RBG and the Supreme Court replacement. That and more coming up right here.
The Trevor Carey Show, Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400.
Hey, when they tell you their plans, actually believe them. Chuck Schumer tweeted out, just when you think Trump can't get any lower, he burrows deeper into the cesspool of callous classlessness. My most fervent wish is that I will not be replaced until a new president is installed. Installed? What are you talking about there, Senator Chuck Schumer? That seems a little bit out of place, right? The word installed, shouldn't it be elected? No. See, the Democratic Party, their whole plan is to install a president. So that's why he used that that word right there. I was telling you yesterday about Michael Bloomberg putting millions of dollars into Florida. Florida just had a new rule, because if you're a felon, you can never vote. But Florida passed a law that you could, after you've served your time to society, done your due diligence in prison, you can come out, you pay off all your fines, then you're allowed to vote. Well, they got like 700,000 people in Florida that could vote, but they have fines. So what are they doing? Michael Bloomberg's coming in. LeBron James of the Lakers coming in and putting money into this to get Democrat. They're having to go out and buy votes. I think that's what, illegal?
Probe into election bribery. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has raised over $16 million to pay for court fines and fees for felons in the state of Florida so that they can vote in the upcoming election. In Florida, felons can regain their voting rights after serving their full sentences. However, their sentences are only considered fully severed after they pay all of their legal financial obligations. All this in addition to Bloomberg's plan to spend $100 million in Florida to help elect Joe Biden.
Yep, and here's Representative Gaetz.
I spoke to Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. She says she is all over this. In fact, I believe there may be a criminal investigation already underway of the Bloomberg-connected activities in Florida. Chapter 104.061 Florida statute says that it is a third-degree felony for someone to either directly or indirectly provide something of value to impact whether or not someone votes. So the question is whether or not paying off someone's fines and legal obligations counts as something of value, and it clearly does. If Michael Bloomberg was people's credit card debts, we would obviously see the value in that. And so when you improve someone's net worth by eliminating their financial liabilities, that is something of value. And then normally it would be very difficult to prove that that was directly linked to impacting whether or not someone was going to vote. But they literally wrote their own admission in this document that they used to go fundraise from other people. They said the precise purpose of this fund was to unlock a portion of the black vote in Florida that they believed would go 90 to 95% for Joe Biden. So in this case, I think they've written their own admission. The law is clear. This is something of value. And I am encouraged after my conversation with the Attorney General. I hope we have good law enforcement all over the country looking for the cheating and the tricks that these Democrats are going to try in this election, because I'm starting to get the sense they know Donald Trump's going to win it on Election Day.
Indeed, and they're cheating. LeBron James looking to pay the fines, any kind of fees for any Florida convicted felons so that they can vote. They're sending text messages to these felons in Florida to get the word out. They're offering to pay the fees racked up for these guys that were in prison. But I'm so glad that looking into this to the Florida Attorney General to investigate former New York City Mayor Bloomberg for vote buying. That's what it is. It's vote buying. It's buying votes. This is, I'm telling you, this is to the degrees that they're willing to go. He actually confirmed raising millions of dollars to pay off these fines for 32,000 convicts in Florida. Democrats trying to buy votes. And yes, it's against the law to give something of value for their vote, just like it's against the law to get something of value to get a record played. That's called payola. You've heard of that. Florida state law makes it clear that giving something to someone indirectly is a class 3 felony. And here's the kicker in it. Bloomberg said he's only going to do it for black and Hispanic felons. So I guess he thinks if you're a white felon, you're going to be a Trump fan, right?
I am the chosen one.
Yes, and you're going to win on election night, and hopefully none of this will matter, but it really can matter, and it should matter, and it does. A Bloomberg memo by the Washington Post said, "We know to win Florida, we'll need to persuade and add new votes to the Biden column." The data shows that in Florida, black voters are unlikely. Any other voting bloc, their Democrat support tends to be 90 to 95%. So you got Bloomberg in on it. You got LeBron James in on it. Representative Matt Gaetz said he just spoke to the Attorney General of Florida. She's all over this. May even be a criminal investigation already underway, as we've seen. So coming out today, the Senate report that Joe and Hunter Biden, the former vice president's son, all his dealings in China. There are reports of shenanigans all over the place in this election. And I recently had a conversation with a Republican who does not like the president and did not vote for him in 2016 and told me, "I'm not voting for him in November." And I asked why. He looked at me and he said, "I can't give the man my support because of all the things he's done over my lifetime in the past." And you know what my response was? I said, "I'm glad God doesn't judge me that way." Good day, sir. We're going to talk to Liz Peek, FoxNews.com, next.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk 96.7, AM 1400, and the iHeartRadio app. Trevor Carey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Great to have her back on the show. You see her on Fox Business. You read her on FoxNews.com. Her latest is confirmed Supreme Court justice now. Four reasons why Trump and Republicans should act quickly. Liz Peek, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. And pretty cheered up to think that we have this opportunity and that Republicans are going to move ahead and actually do it. I think this is great news for the country, honestly. I think nothing could be more important.
Well, I say right now, since her death, man, it's dominated the news, and Chuck Schumer and Nancy and all the left are fighting. I mean, they're just, I think we can use the word triggered for them, right? It's real easy to trigger them with things that we didn't have problems with for, what, 180 years or something?
Well, exactly. And look at the threats that are being made by Democrats. If Joe Biden is elected and they take over the Senate, they'll undo the Electoral College. I mean, that's, I think, a pretty offensive idea to, you know, two-thirds of Americans who live in states that are population-wise not as big, but they think are just as important. And, by the way, that's what the founders of the country anticipated, that there would be a move by the most populous states to dominate our political lives and our policymaking. It shouldn't happen, and it can't happen, but Democrats want to see that happen. And also, of course, they're talking about stacking the Supreme Court, which is something most Americans oppose and really has a bad name, because when it was done under FDR, that was considered one of the sort of most heinous acts of sort of overreach by a very liberal president, obviously. So you really just have to kind of start wondering at what lengths will Democrats stop. They're also talking, as you probably know, about making Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico states. In other words, they're really trying to get into a position where Republicans will never again occupy the Oval Office. And I think Americans rightly should be very alarmed about this.
Now, Liz, when we hear stack the Supreme Court, it requires a death or what, to raise the number of judges if you were going to stack it? How would they stack it? What does that really mean?
They can just change the number of justices that are sitting on the court. I mean, it's been, in place now, nine justices forever. And I think, you know, what they're talking about is adding three or four more Democrats, liberal-leaning judges. By the way, do you remember the big flap early in Trump's campaign, I guess it was, certainly not when he was in office, where he made the comment that a Mexican heritage judge might not view his policies or something that he had done fairly because he might be influenced by his background. Why is it all of a sudden Democrats feel that every judge is political, every Supreme Court justice should be put through a political maze to make sure that they're an appropriate person filling that seat? That seems kind of contravening what they accused Trump of. They were horrified that Trump made such allegations, but I think they're making the same allegations, that if you're a Catholic, you're going to be biased. Your personal bias is going to influence your decision making. That's either true or not true, but you can't have it both ways.
Isn't that awful that they're bringing up her Catholic faith? And there is one Democrat I saw today, Senator Joe Manchin, said, I'm Catholic, okay, and religion should not enter to it. It sure doesn't with me, but it sure does with a lot of other folks. And Liz, when you mentioned that judge, at the Hispanic judge that President Trump made that comment about, that judge, it wasn't reported, was a member of La Raza, which is the group that wants to take the land taken from Mexico back in the 1800s. So he was a very politically involved judge. So I see why the president said that. But the Catholic faith thing, we're back to John F. Kennedy days, aren't we?
Yeah, no, it's exactly right. And by the way, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was Jewish and did not shy away from calling on her faith in terms of what informed her opinions about what is right and what is wrong. I mean, that's really, you would sort of hope that most people have some grounding in terms of right and wrong and policy making stemming from that determination. And for a lot of people, it is a religious issue, and that's where it stems from. It's really, I have to say, I think that Democrats are going, and this is why, of course, Manchin spoke out, Democrats are going to really look bad if they really pile on, if it is indeed Amy Coney Barrett, and I think it probably will be, that she will be the nominee. She is a pretty unassailable character. But what the heck? We thought that about Brett Kavanaugh, too.
They'll go back to Amy's junior high yearbook, right? Try and find some.
Exactly.
Well, you write.
What was she doing in grade school, you know?
You write here, Liz, the election could well be contested. We know that now. We have states that are extending it weeks past the election deadline to count ballots. And you bring up a really good point. It could really save this election. The GOP needs a seat and additional conservative to guarantee the court is not deadlocked in the event of a dispute that could possibly be coming.
Yeah, and by the way, Democrats should feel the same way. I mean, obviously they don't want a conservative, but if you have an even number of justices the way it is now, it could easily be deadlocked. And what I read, and I'm not a constitutional authority, there is no resolution to that. The assumption was that the decision would go to the Supreme Court and they would be in a position to make that decision. If they're incapable of doing that, I honestly don't know what the recourse is. Perhaps they would have to just argue the case and keep going until one or other minds were changed on the court. But look, our system, I guess this bears repeating, our system of government and governance has been in place for over 200 years, and it has been wildly successful, the most successful country on earth. That is not something, that's not bloviating, that is a fact. We have created more wealth in this country, shared more wealth, created more wealthy people than any country on earth. Why in the world would you want to change that?
Yeah, you just scared me. A deadlock with the Supreme Court, possibly, if we didn't get a new justice nominated. I guess the answer would be Trump paratroopers, right?
I mean, honestly, think about what's going on in Louisville right now. They have declared a state of emergency in anticipation of a ruling on a policeman having shot and killed a black woman. Because the ruling may not appease the black community, I guess they are concerned that there will be armed revolt in the streets, and so they've declared a state of emergency. This is getting ridiculous. I mean, we have the expectation of this country of rule of law, and our police have the support of most of the country, including minorities. What on earth is causing these mayors and governors around the country to completely lose sight of their number one function? The number one function of government is to keep people safe. So honestly, I don't know about you. I mean, I read the news these days with just this horrible sinking feeling that people have just sort of lost their minds.
You don't know about me. That's all I have to do every day. That's my job, to read the news
me
and talk
too.
About this horrible sinking feeling. I do have days when I turn on my news outlets in the morning and I go, whew, okay, good. It wasn't as bad as I was thinking it might be.
That's a good day.
Yeah, that's a good day. You're right. And you also write it's payback time. Let's go back to Justice Brett Kavanaugh. Remember how just stinky they were? They were just miserable people during that.
Oh, it's more than that. They took a very good man with an absolutely spotless, impeccable record, including for having promoted women throughout the entirety of his career, and completely ruined his reputation on live TV with the most heinous accusations. Okay, so we start with, of course, a woman coming forward, Christine Blasey Ford, after decades and saying, oh, he did something to me. I can't remember where, I can't remember when. Literally, she couldn't remember where or when it took place. Can't remember who was there. And nobody else in the entire universe of mutual friends that they had from that era came forward to support her story. In fact, many debunked the story. But that wasn't enough for the Democrats, because they hadn't completely destroyed Kavanaugh. Then they went and basically allowed any scumbag anywhere to come forward with stories of gang rape and other things that Kavanaugh was accused of doing, with absolutely zero credible evidence. No evidence, credible or otherwise. So I ask you, you know, so as we go into this next set of hearings, which will, I think, happen quite soon, I really wonder to what lengths they will go. And again, if it is Barrett, are they going to go after her her faith? Are they going to go after her for, you know, adopting children from Haiti? What exactly are they going to bash this woman with? And here's the big news for Republicans. This did not go well at all for Democrats after the Kavanaugh hearings. If you remember, there was a surge in fundraising. Republicans really hammered Democrats for months about it. The good news for Joe Biden's campaign right now is that the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg has opened up a vacancy on the court and really energized people about voting, because they understand that this is a pivotal moment for the Supreme Court. There was no energy, no excitement or enthusiasm for Joe Biden. There still isn't, but at least now they have something that might drive voters to the polls. On the other side, people are remembering Brett Kavanaugh, and I hope to see fundraising for some of these Senate races, like Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell, or some of the ones that are more contested, increase, because Republicans need to remember that this is really a critical time to keep the Senate, because God forbid that Joe Biden wins this election and introduces a whole slew of legislation and there is no Republican Senate to block it, then we are in big trouble.
Exactly. And it's pretty amazing when death actually energizes. You got to be a pretty low energy campaign to have somebody dying to energize, as we've seen. Liz, I love when I'm out in public, which we had a big rally downtown, first time in months. But when people come up and say, I love when you said this, I was in my truck and I honked the horn out loud because of what you said. I want to tell you, you sit in a room and write by yourself, and then it goes out and you don't get to hear from, you know, comments and people all the time. But let me tell you, when you wrote this, I was in my car prepping and I went, yes, I almost honked my horn. When you wrote, let us be clear, Republicans owe Democrats nothing, no courtesy, no respect, no accommodation. I was like, honk that horn.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I am not usually quite so hostile, but I am. I think this is the idea, after 4 years of utter obstruction, saying absolutely anything they want about this president, charges of false charging him with collusion with Russia, never apologizing for that, never apologizing to the American people. You know what? Republicans owe Democrats nothing. I stand by that. And by the way, let's not forget, they impeached the president on unbelievably flaky accusations, which perhaps should have more directly gone to Hunter Biden and his father, Joe Biden. If there was corruption in Ukraine, tell me how making millions of dollars from Ukraine isn't a pretty questionable thing to do. Donald Trump didn't make money in the Ukraine. Hunter Biden did. And I think that we now have that report out. I was glad to see it. It certainly raises questions about the ethics of what went on during the Obama administration. I think a lot of us harbor concerns about the ethics of the Obama administration anyway. But this notion that Joe Biden is this sort of puritanical, good old Joe, we know Joe Biden. No, he has a son who is clearly verging on corrupt activities, taking advantage of his father's position. He's been accused very credibly of a woman sexually assaulting her, and yet somehow Joe Biden is like good old Joe, you know, above reproach. No, he's not.
Liz, I don't know. Michelle Obama said there were no scandals during her husband's presidency, right?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, the Obamas got a total pass. We cannot let that wash over Joe Biden's career. I mean, the man is plagiarized. He constantly lies about his background. The most offensive lies have to do with his activities during the Civil Rights era. He did nothing, but he pretends he was at that march. He pretends he sat in and was taken to jail. No, he wasn't. He makes it up. Doesn't anybody care about this? I mean, really, it's pretty astonishing.
It is, and more is coming out, but we're finding out right now as we head into this. And Liz, every election we say it could be the most important election in America's history. This election makes 2016 look like a cakewalk.
I totally agree. You know why? Because Hillary Clinton was the ultimate establishment figure, and she probably really wasn't going to move the dial very much in terms of policy. This is no longer the case. Joe Biden is really a shadow, a puppet, whatever you want to call it. He's controlled increasingly by the far left. That's not somebody spinning tales. That is true. And when he, you know, went off script the other day and said, I'm not a socialist, I beat the socialist, obviously that was horrifying to Democrats, because they need that socialist progressive wing of their party to turn out on November 3rd, and they're kowtowing to it all the time. And by the way, you have Chuck Schumer being possibly threatened by AOC with a primary battle next time he's up for office, which I think is 22. You know, guess what? That's why Chuck Schumer no longer makes any sense whatsoever and has plunged into the deep end of the pool. This is scary stuff. And these policies they're talking about would really change this country.
They would. All of this on top of COVID-19. Are you able in New York? I can't keep track of everybody's rules. How far in New York State? Can you go to a restaurant right now and sit down?
In New York State, you can. And they've just agreed that as of September 30, you can do that in New York City, but only 25% of capacity. So I'm not in New York City. I have just recently been in Westchester, which is outside of the city, and I went out to eat with my kids, and it was 42 degrees. So let me just tell you something. This idea that you can eat outside year-round and that restaurants will be supplying their patrons with outside dining, no, that's not going to work, because when it's 42 degrees, I don't care what you're wearing, I don't care how many of those gas heat lamps there are, it's freezing. So,
well, let me flip the script. We got to eat outside. It's 102, and we have the most. We have air quality worse than Beijing, China, from the fire. So it's like they're telling us, don't go outside. The air quality is so bad. But go outside and eat in a restaurant, because we don't want you to get ill by moving inside.
Honestly, it's all so harebrained. And I mean, in New York's case, we have honestly the most. I can't, words do not describe the mayor that we have in New York City, Bill de Blasio. I mean, he's a progressive idiot, is really, and even my liberal Democrat friends in New York, everyone is just so offended by everything he does. He can't open the schools because they didn't plan ahead. Schools have been closed for 6 months. De Blasio didn't do any planning. They have no PPE on premises. They've done no cleaning of the schools. It's almost incredible. But what does he have time to do? Paint yellow letters in front of Trump Tower saying Black Lives Matter. That's what matters to this moron that is running New York City. And by the way, I mean, it's here's another puzzle in my life. So I have all these Democrat friends in New York City, most of whom are moving to Florida, to be sure, who think de Blasio is the worst thing ever. But they never connect the dots between the progressive policies that have ruined New York City, are ruining New York City, and seeing that that might be applied across the country if they elect Joe Biden. They're still going to go vote for a guy who is in bed with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Most of them have made their money on Wall Street or other industries which are under attack from those people. I can't understand it. I literally can't understand it.
I don't either. It's like, as I say here, it's like grabbing a shovel and digging your own grave all along, saying, this is great for me. I'm digging my own grave. Liz, thank you so much. You can read all her stuff, foxnews.com, and the social media world where you have not been purged from yet. Liz, tell them how to follow you.
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Liz Peek, LizPeek. And I welcome followers. I love that. And I've never been purged. I hope that never happens. I would be pretty offended.
Well, I tell you what, grab a couple comforters and head out to dinner at a restaurant.
Exactly.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks so much. Thank you. Take care.
Or here in California, I guess you can go sit out in your underwear. And eat at a restaurant. If you want to change all this, if you're hearing all this, it makes you mad, become a Power Talk Precinct President. Do it now at powertalk967.com.
Trevor Carey, Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. The Trevor Carey Show on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400.
Like to thank Amber for her nice tweet saying thank you so much for coming out and God bless and thank you for always telling it like it is. Well, thank you, Amber. I appreciate the support there as well. There is a new TikTok trend. I thought we made TikTok illegal. President Trump did something about that, didn't he? They're talking about it. Walmart's going to buy them. Okay, this TikTok thing. It's a online trend. In this, it made me want to hurl. It has parents or older brothers or sisters or whatever dancing, holding a baby, and then they throw the baby. Throwing their babies off camera and then twerking to an abortion song. Yes, really. You see them lip syncing to the song Baby by Blueface, which features the lyrics, quote, no baby, we can't have the baby. If you don't take this plan B, boop, it's plan C. Plan B, morning after pill. Plan C, I presumably be abortion. But you have an abortion, a pro-abortion song. People are dancing through it and then throwing their babies off camera. I mean, you could hurt a baby's neck. I mean, and they don't, many of them don't even look over. Now, maybe they have somebody there with a pillow and grandma's holding the pillow and the baby, but it's disgusting. Parents throwing their babies off camera, then twerking to an abortion song. I'm sure those kids are going to grow up and go, Mom, I'm so proud. Thank you for doing that on the internet. Thank you for throwing me and then turning around and shaking your rear end for the world. Classy, classy. This was a comment I don't think is going to get a whole lot of attention, but former Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was not a supporter of Colin Kaepernick's protest during the national anthem. Back in 2016, when he first began taking a knee, Ruth Bader Ginsburg said she felt the players' protest was dumb. She said, quote, "I think it's really dumb of them." Yeah, she did an interview with Katie Couric. She said, "Would I arrest them for doing it? No, I think it's dumb and disrespectful. I had the same answer if you asked me about flag burning. I think it's a terrible thing to do, but I wouldn't lock a person up for doing it. I'd point out how ridiculous it seems to me to do such an act." And then she upped the ante from dumb to stupid. Regarding Colin Kaepernick. Yeah, you're not going to hear that one too much. I'll probably conveniently forget to include that in her statements of her life. Looking right now, protests erupting in response to the Breonna Taylor decision in Louisville, Kentucky. Right now, don't see a lot of violence. Oh, just fires in Louisville. Why were they even allowed to start a fire? I mean, why do you allow this to happen? Starting fires. There are police around. If you see somebody starting a fire, isn't that called an arsonist? And shouldn't you be arrested? I like what that sheriff running for sheriff in Arizona said. I'll just have the buses lined up and we'll arrest them and we'll take them right on in. We're going to be moving to the red tier. Those of you that are going to follow the rules, desperate times call for desperate measures. We're not asking, we're telling you, we're opening up October 1st. Everybody excited in government about the red tier moving? Dr. Vore, we move to the red tier? No, we're going to blow past your red light. Next.